comfort and reassurance from others. People are naturally intended to bond and connect, and distressing times activate that need for attachment within us. It's bearing this in mind that I'm attempting to share some words of insight, chizuk, and support during these difficult times. Of course, we look to the Torah and to Das Torah for authoritative stances and guidance. The words being shared here are not authoritative or final. Rather, they are words being shared from my heart to yours in an attempt to give some direction and a clearer frame of mind during these very turbulent times. Many of us are grappling with feeling conflicted, especially those of us who have loved ones in Eretz Yisrael. I have a daughter in seminary there this year, and I have a married sister there in Yerushalayim, so I'm certainly feeling the heaviness in my heart. And many of us are feeling this conflict. On the one hand, our hearts and minds are consumed with distressing thoughts and feelings about what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. We have fear, uncertainty, confusion, helplessness. And on the other hand, we have life's daily responsibilities calling to us, and we have to go about our daily routine with carpools and suppers and homework and other seemingly trivial matters while there's a war being waged with Klal Yisrael. How do we reconcile this conflict within us? So let's take a step back and to zoom out, so to say, to help reconcile these inner feelings. My heart and my mind are with Eretz Yisrael, but my focus and physical being is at home, doing, or at least trying to do, my daily tasks. In truth, ladies, we are all soldiers in Hashem's army. We are all just stationed at different battalions. In truth, no one is more safe than someone else, and Hashem's ability to guard and protect is not limited to battlefields or specific countries. As we saw during COVID, the Gezerah of Hashem reaches wherever He wants it to reach. It's a facade, it's fake to assume that we are protected by anything other than Hashem, which means that any of us touched by what is going on in Eretz Yisrael is a soldier in the army as well. True, we may not be there physically, but we too have a role to play in this war. There are things Hashem wants from us, and there are roles we have to step up to, the plate to fulfill. For a wife and or a mother, the station of service in Hashem's army is in her home, nurturing and contributing the relationships and the needs of the people at home. And what I think this translates into is not necessarily so much about saying, oh my, I have to accumulate zechusim, so I need to take on more, I need to do more, I should add more things to my plate. Rather, I think it's about looking at what we are already doing and saying, how can I do this better? Not how can I do more, but how can I do what I'm already doing, but just do it much better? Do it with more heart and more focus and more sensitivity and more softness. You know, my friends, sometimes small is actually big. Sometimes the little things, just this and just that, is really big in the eyes of Hashem. And I think that maybe what Hashem wants from those of us at home is to slow down and do the little things better. For example, this thought came to me on Tuesday morning. Baruch Hashem, I'm at a stage in my life now where I'm able to daven shacharis and mincha. And as I was davening shacharis, I was thinking, you know, I daven every day, but do I look in my sitter and say every word clearly and really focus on the tefillos? My mind sometimes wanders. Sometimes I might be mumbling. My mind is drifting to other things. So let me just look inside. And I was amazed at how every single bracha in Shmona Esrei is davening to Hashem about Mashiach and the safety of Eretz Yisrael and for Klal Yisrael to be protected. These are exactly the tefillos that we want to be saying now, and it's all right there in the Siddur. So it wasn't about davening more. It was about davening better. And then I came to Aleinu. And some people joke that Aleinu was Tefillas HaDerech. You know, that you close your siddur and start walking away in the middle of it. And I said, let me just say every word inside until the tippy end. And I come across the words, Utsu Eitza V'Sufar, Dabru Davar V'Lo Yakum Ki Imanu Kel. They have ideas, they make plans. None of it is worth anything because Hashem is with me and nothing can happen unless He wills it to happen. What a different kind of davening, to focus and look at every word. For some people, it may not be davening in a siddur. It might be biting their tongue when they have a good line to say or a sarcastic joke that might make someone feel a little bad, even though it's funny. For a different person, it might be tolerating something annoying that her husband is doing again and saying, this time I'm just going to stay quiet, or I will just speak with more respect. For another woman, it might be being very patient with that child who pushes her buttons all the time, and this time giving a little more love and a little more sensitivity and a little more patience. It might be agreeing to do a chesed for someone that's inconvenient. But ladies, in all of these scenarios, it's about saying to ourselves, Hashem, this time I'm doing it for you. This is my karban to you. I'm biting my tongue as my karban to you. It should be a schus for the matzav right now. I'm holding back from saying that joke. This is my karban to you, Hashem, during this very difficult Eis Tzara. I received an email this week from an organization alerting parents to the fact that Hamas has threatened to release videos on social media of hostages begging for their lives. That the atrocities being performed now have not been paralleled since the time of the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. And Hamas at that point was threatening to release these videos and publicize them on social media, which would clearly traumatize people if they watched them. And so this organization was urgently calling parents to remove social media from the phones of their children so the children shouldn't see these clips and chas v'shalom get traumatized. A friend of mine pointed out to me, really? We needed this organization to tell this to us? We needed Hamas to threaten? This is what the Gedolim have been telling us for years, to stay away from social media and not to let it come onto our phones or onto our computers or into our homes. And it takes a threat from Hamas to remind us that this is not something that belongs on the phone of a Jewish person? The email went on to tell parents how to talk to their children about why social media needs to be removed from their phones and why it's so important and how it can be so damaging to them. And then the email continued to say how parents should model healthy use of technology and show our children that this is not wholesome and that this can be dangerous. And these words are ringing out from organizations now, when for years the Gedolim have been telling us the same thing over and over and over. Clearly Hashem wants us to get these messages, but we didn't get them loud enough. So now Hashem is sending Hamas to warn us how dangerous social media can be. It goes even deeper than that, my friends. The Gemara says that before Mashiach comes, all the idols of the world have to be destroyed. All the powers of the world have to be destroyed so that it is clear to everyone that Hashem is the only power. Just in the past 25 years, we have seen the deterioration of so many powers of the world, beginning with 9/11 and all the events coming after that. We see how the world power called United States has been slowly crumbling with the fall of the Twin Towers And then the weakening of our presidential leadership. Till today, when we have someone leading our country who doesn't seem to have his mind fully present. And then a couple of years ago, we had COVID. COVID took down the power of the medical field. The medical field was stumped, and so many of their solutions proved to be faulty, to the point where people died under the watchful eye of the medical teams. And now we have the power of social media, of the news, of technology. This is where news spreads. This is where jealousy flourishes. This is where lashon hara abounds. This is where privacy is breached, where competition festers, where false information spreads. This is in the power of technology and social media. And now this too is coming crumbling down when we're being warned and cautioned that this is a powerful place to traumatize and spread fear and anxiety, and it needs to be removed. Now, some of us might be thinking, phew, okay, I don't have social media, so this doesn't apply to me. Hold on. Stop. What are the underlying problems of social media? It's not just the people who have social media. Social media has infiltrated the way we think and conduct ourselves. The powerful problems of social media include crossing over boundaries of privacy. Let's ask ourselves, where in our lives may we be overstepping privacy and crossing over boundaries? Are we prying into other people's lives? Are we yenting into other people's affairs? Are we asking questions of others that aren't our business? Are we thinking about and talking about other people's lives? What about sharing things about our own lives that are not intended for other people to know? Are we talking to other people about our marriage, about subjects that are supposed to remain between husband and wife? What about the flourishing of jealousy and competition that social media is known to spread? Well, even without social media, how are we contributing to competition? How might we be making other people jealous? Where in my life might I be flaunting or showing off or wearing things or dressing my children in a way that makes other people feel jealous or competitive? What about the theme of spreading news? Are we chatting on the phone or chatting in the park about stories about other people and about empty, frivolous talk that does not have to be shared? Are we putting other people down? We are all struggling with the themes of social media, even if we don't have it on our phones or on our devices. The principles of social media still apply, even to those who don't engage on that platform. And so it behooves us all to take a closer look at the nuances of our lives and to ask ourselves, how can we do better in all these areas, in the areas of jealousy, competition, frivolous chatter, flaunting, spreading news? I think what COVID has taught us is, and what many nisyonos teach us, is that we can research, we can plan, we can strategize, we can invent, but nothing really has any power or existence unless Hashem wants it to. No armies, no missiles, no intelligence or the like have any power without Hashem giving it to them. Anyone who has a child who has gone through the parsha of Shidduchim knows that you do a lot of hishtadlos, and it has to do with a resume and meeting shatranim and where she went to seminary and where he's learning. And we feel like there's so much power in the hishtadlusen. And the truth is that Baruch Hashem, once a person does a shirach, you realize that the shirach had nothing to do with the shatran or with the resume or with the seminary, and all the things that you thought were mindless are not important, and the things you didn't think were important become important. All of it is a facade. It's all a show. It's all a puppeteer. It's external behaviors that ultimately have nothing to do with the outcome, because without the will of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, nothing happens. Ladies, this is where we cut the cord, where we stop believing in a basar v'dam. It's at this type of place where we completely surrender ourselves to Hashem. We say, Hashem, I'm like a baby in your arms. My job is to accumulate zechusim and to do the right thing and to make Hashem proud in the details of my day. And then after I do that, I trust that Hashem knows what is best for me moving forward. It's that surrender, that baby-like trust that Hashem is looking for. I believe that one way to look at this is that emuna begins where seichel ends. Meaning, so long as we understand something, it's easier to have a certain basic level of emuna because it makes sense. So I could understand that it makes sense to go to such and such a place, and I believe that Hashem will take care of me there. I can believe it makes sense to invest money in something, and I have emuna, Hashem can make it work out. But when we do things that don't, when things happen that don't make sense to us, where we're stuck, this just doesn't make sense, I can't wrap my mind around this, I can't comprehend it, that's where real emuna comes in. That's the deeper level of emuna and bitachon. When it stops making sense, I can't understand how this could happen. I can't understand how people can be stuck there, how people can live through this, how this attack can happen in this way. It doesn't make sense to me. My mind just can't grasp it. It's in that exact place that we transcend regular intellect, that we go above seichel, that we cut the cord of logic and we say, Hashem, I am totally yours. I don't get this. I can't wrap my mind around it. It makes no sense to me. That's the deeper, true, heartfelt level of emuna and bitachon that we can only reach when things stop making sense. And this, my friends, is where our tefillos reach a whole new level. We're not davening from a place of grounded, solid, stable feeling of, I got this, I figured this out, I just need Hashem's help. Rather, we come with a tefillah of total emptiness. Hashem, I give this over to you. You fill this gap because my brain can't figure it out. And this is how we resolve that inner conflict. My place is right here where I am, because Hashem put me exactly where I'm supposed to be. I told this to my daughter, who's in seminary in Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't a mistake that the war broke out during your seminary year. You're supposed to be experiencing this as part of your journey in this world. It's not a mistake that there were people stuck in Eretz Yisrael after Yom Tov. They were supposed to be there. That was part of their journey. Our job as Hashem's soldier is not to try to figure out all the whys and the hows and the whats. And it's not to try to see how could I do more and more and more. It's about saying I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be and how can I do my job even better. And in this way, we can hold that conflict together where we can hold both of these things at the same time. I'm going to make Hashem proud by being where I am and doing the right thing. And then, of course, I'm going to hold together with that in the back of my mind, and specifically during tefillah and during moments alone and when it comes up with other people, I will think about the matzav in Eretz Yisrael and the severity of how fragile we all are in Hashem's hands. But what I want to point out here is that really both of these conflicting thoughts are honestly one and the same. They boil down to the same one emes. Hashem hu Elokim ein od melvado. Hashem is the only power and there is nothing else but him. Really, these two things are one on the same. Hashem wants us close to him. He wants us to stop being so proud and so confident, and to feel like we're capable of solving all the world's problems. He wants us to get quiet and humble and say, Hashem, I trust everything you do. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, with a backdrop of concern for the matziv, but wrapped all together with a deep level of emuna and bitachon, knowing that I will do my best to be loyal and calm without fully understanding things, but trusting that Hashem, you can run this world and you don't need my help. I'm going to end with a final thought from the Rachma Shtrifka Rebbe, who talks about the idea of nisyonos, of challenges, of tests in this world. And the Rebbe compares nisyonos to salt being put on meat. When we salt meat, the purpose of the salt is to bring out the flavor of the meat. But if too much salt is put on the meat, it ruins the flavor of the meat. So the right amount of salt brings out the delicious flavor, but too much salt actually ruins the flavor. And the Rebbe explains that when Hashem sends us nisyonos, when Hashem sends us tests, He gives us just the right amount of the nisayon to bring out our best flavor, to bring out our gadlus, to bring out our gevura, to bring out our emunah and bitachon. He gives us just enough salt that could push us far, 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 that could bring out our greatness, but He doesn't give us too much that would crush us. Which means, ladies, that each and every one of us, wherever we are in the world and whatever position we hold, we are being affected by this nisayon exactly in the right amount that we're supposed to be. And the way we're experiencing this nisayon is exactly the way Hashem wants it to give it to us, to bring out our greatness, to bring out our godliness, to bring out our kaiches, to bring in our talent and our strength and our ability. And He will stop the nisayon at the point where it would crush us. Let us send up a tefillah together that we share wonderful besuras tovos soon, and that we all join together in Yerushalayim v'karav, that we go al kanfei nesharim, on the wings of eagles, to Yerushalayim Ir HaKadosh. And I told this to my daughter in seminary, those of you who are in Eretz Yisrael now, you will have front seats when Mashiach comes, and you'll reserve seats for those of us far away who are part of your beautiful mishpachas. My daughter's in a seminary on a street called Kanfei Nesharim. All of the girls in Eretz Yisrael and all of the Bachurim Eretz Yisrael and the Mishpachas in Eretz Yisrael, they're at the front lines. And may we all be zeicha to join them very, very soon in the Kibbutz Galias with Simcha, with Emuna, with Betachen, with connection and Deveikus Ba'Hashem. B'mheira v'yameinu, amen. Hatzlacha and zeige bench to everybody.